Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me here today. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about my evaluation of Michigan's Legionella surveillance system. So I'll start with some of the rationale behind my choosing Legionella surveillance for my evaluation. Importantly, Legionella is not spread person to person, but environmentally through breathing in aerosolized water that is contaminated by the bacteria Legionella. This makes identifying the environmental source key during an outbreak investigation. I was also really interested in the diagnostic testing, which is also a critical component of outbreak investigation for Legionellosis. And I wanted to know how diagnostic test type might influence case detection and distribution. So for my evaluation, I looked at data from the Michigan Disease Surveillance System, or MDSS, our web-based electronic surveillance system that we use to track reportable diseases, including Legionellosis. And I decided to take the 10 years of data available since the system's inception in 2004. I ended up evaluating 8 of the 9 attributes listed in CDC's MMWR updated guidelines for evaluating public health surveillance systems. However, in this presentation, I am going to focus on the diagnostic testing portion. So a little bit of background on Legionella diagnostic testing techniques, their advantages and disadvantages. There are 5 tests that can be performed. I'm only going to touch on 2 of them. Culturing is considered the gold standard, as it detects all species and serotypes of the bacteria, and it's easy to compare clinical and environmental isolates in an outbreak scenario. However, it does take a lot of skill and the right media to do this correctly, and even when it does go well, it can take up to five days to get a result, or more than five, at least 5 days, sorry. The urinary antigen test, on the other hand, is very quick. It isn't as invasive as some of the other methods, but it's only reliable for detecting one serotype of Legionella, fortunately the one that most commonly causes disease. However, the results are impossible to compare with environmental samples in an outbreak situation, and you can't use those tests to determine the source of an outbreak. There are other test types available, but as you'll see on the next slides, these tests, which include serology, direct fluorescent antibody testing, and PCR, are rarely used, most likely due to limited utility and complications. So first I looked at what kind of tests were being used in Michigan. This is an overview of the types of testing happening in Michigan over the past 10 years. As you can see, the majority of cases are diagnosed solely by urinary antigen testing, which has a big implication for outbreak scenarios. Just under a third of cases were diagnosed by multiple methods, that green bit that kind of expands over into that second circle. And most of these were a combination of urinary antigen testing and culturing, which is positive. And 7% of cases had no lab data associated with them in the surveillance system, but they may have been attached in an additional report. So next I looked at how the diagnostic tests that were used changed over time. I narrowed it down to 5 major groups. That's shown on this graph. On the bottom you see is years from 2004 to 2013, and number of cases is indicated in the bars. So urinary antigen testing only, which is shown in red, has generally increased over time, and use of culture only, which is shown in light blue, has decreased. And as you can see, there is a huge discrepancy between usage of those 2 tests. They're often used together, shown in gold, which is promising. So I also wanted to see if the higher usage of urinary antigen testing was affecting how many cases were being diagnosed, as in, if a test is easier to use, will it be used more frequently? Just kind of what I found. So this map of Michigan is divided into our 8 public health preparedness regions. Case rates are shown in green, with the darker green indicating higher rates. Southeast Michigan has some of the highest rates in the states, which is also our highest proportion, our highest population. And overlaid on that map of rates are the percentages of cases diagnosed by urinary antigen testing alone for each region. And while higher usage of urinary antigen testing doesn't automatically correlate or equate to high numbers of cases, there does seem to be a little bit of correlation there. So given what I discovered in this portion of my evaluation, I've made the following recommendations. The first is to designate a case number threshold for hospitals to begin culturing pneumonia patients in addition to using urinary antigen testing if they're not already doing so. This will improve outbreak investigations efforts and source identification, as not having clinical isolates can completely hamstring an investigation. And the second recommendation is to continue to increase the number of hospitals and laboratories electronically submitting to MDSS. So this will improve data completeness. Remember, 7% of cases you would have had to hunt if you wanted to find the additional information. And it will also allow for a better understanding of the types of diagnostic tests used. And we're well on our way with this one. In 2013, only 10 hospitals were electronically submitting to MDSS, but in 2014, that number jumped to 42. So that's very good. I would like to acknowledge my mentors, Jevin and Mary Grace, as well as all of the people in the Department of Health and Human Services CD division who really helped me along as I was poking around in the data and performing my evaluation. So thank you all for being here.